We've been going verse by verse in the book of Romans, and we are this morning going to be continuing on the principle of Christian liberty. Amen. And so that means opinions, everybody has one, opinions can be different. But what we shouldn't differ on is our opinion toward proper Christian conduct. And I'd like us to all get unity around that this morning. Because we, all of us, as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, our unity should be around serving God. We can't disagree on that. And so my actions and your actions shouldn't be dictated by what a convention says or what a convention votes on. My actions and your actions, we shouldn't do them because, well, I see others do them. And I like you, so I'm going to do what you do because, well, you're a nice guy. That's not how our actions should be. We shouldn't come under that. It should be, I do something because I've studied it, I've researched it, and I've come to a personal conviction. Have you studied something? Have you researched it? Have you come to a personal conviction? This is the theme of what we're starting in chapter number 14 of Romans. Watch what it says at the end of verse 5. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. In your own mind, you've got to study it. You've got to get with God. You've got to research it. You see that in Romans 14, verse 5, at the end of it? Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. You know what you got to do? Judge yourself. Judge yourself. On that, I want to pray, and then we'll get ready. We'll get into the rest of the text. Lord God, I ask your blessing upon this service. Pray that this scripture verse, these passages, these verses be a help to all of us. Be with us. We certainly love you and thank you for the freedom to be able to meet here together. In Jesus' name we do ask and pray. Amen. All right, so let's see. Verse number 5. Look at this. Man, one man esteemeth one day above another. Another esteemeth every day alike. You know, there are people, they will make a distinction in days. But not everybody does that. Some people do that. Some esteem today, Sunday, as a day above the other days. You know, some people do that. Well, they say, well, Sunday is the Lord's day. Well, did God make all the days? Aren't all the days the Lord's days? Roger just came and testified. He was out Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday witnessing. It seems to me the whole week he esteemed all the days alike. Oh, great, it's Monday. I get to serve God. Here's how. Oh, it's Tuesday. I get to serve God. Here's how. Too many Christians think, well, it's Sunday. I get to serve God for an hour at 11 a.m. That's not really the way Christianity should work. I'm of the persuasion of every day's alike. But you may not be of that persuasion. So we can either fight about it until the Lord comes for us, or we can understand, you know what? Everybody's got their personal liberty, and everybody has to be fully persuaded in their own mind. If you think something special about Sunday and that's what gets you up into church, well, praise God you're here. Thank the Lord. But we're talking about days here. Do we have any command in the Bible that we have to meet on Sunday? We don't. What if you were a Christian in a communist country? And you were under watch. And they knew you were meeting on Sunday. Do you really think the Lord would want you to keep meeting on Sunday? If you can find another day, man, I want to meet on Saturday because I know that we can be safer. You understand what the Bible's trying to say? It's not a day that we worship. What if you were a missionary in the bush? The bush is the jungle. If you're a missionary in a third world country, that's what they call the jungle is the bush. What if you're out in the jungle? It's pretty hard to lose track of days in the jungle, amen. What if the villagers are only gathering on Tuesday down at the market? You think it'd be okay to set up something and have church there? And invite, I think it'd be okay. I think the Lord would be pleased with that. And too many times we look at this idea that, well, it's Sunday, this special day we get to worship the Lord. Every day we get to worship the Lord. Amen. Amen. Do you know there are folks that come to Pilgrim on occasion and they are required to work on Sunday? Their work requires them. Well, they're off on Thursday. They're off on Thursday. They come on Thursday. What does it say? One man esteemeth one day above another. Another esteemeth every day alike. We worship the Creator of all the days. And the Christian life isn't found in a day. It's found in the day spring on high, which is a reference to the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God. That's what Christianity is about. Brother, I don't need a day to get excited about serving Jesus. Do you? I don't think we need that. Hey, it's Sunday, we get to serve God. It's Monday, we get to serve God. We're serving Him, not a day.
Don't need a holiday either.
Right, go to Colossians 2. Might as well go there. Brother's already ahead of me. All right, Jamin. Colossians 2. Colossians chapter 2, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians will be the next book. And in chapter 2, the Bible says in verse number 16, watch what it says, "Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink." We talked about that last week. "Or in respect of an, there's no I here, there's a Y in this word. It's not holiday, it's respect of a holy day, a holy day. A holy day. It's Easter. Oh, it's Christmas. Oh, it's Valentine's. Oh, it's Halloween. Oh, it's St. Patrick's Day. Oh, it's, what is there? Is there one this month that I'm missing? Oh, it's Labor Day. Yeah, I get to. Why do I need to wait for a special day to serve God? You don't need a holy day. You need to get excited about serving the holy God. And then it says, or of the new moon. I don't know why any Christian wants to look at the horoscope. What's your sign? I don't have a sign. I'm a Christian. You don't have to look at the horoscope to read what some pagan wrote to tell you how you should live your life or what you're thinking. What is that? Horoscopes. Okay. Or of the new moon, or of the Sabbath days. The Sabbath days. Okay, so if you're a fisherman, I don't know why you would block out Sunday as your day to go fishing. If you live in America, I don't understand why you would want to block out Sunday to do that, when you can just as well go fishing on Saturday to be with God's people on Sunday, right? So I get that. Okay? Do we all have sports hobbies we like to do? Okay. So, but let me ask you this. Some people say, well, it's the Sabbath, Lord's Day, it's Sunday. We can't play any sports. So they don't, I don't sign my kids up for, if they're playing on Sunday, we're not going. And they had some horse stuff, my son, on Thursday. I said, well, we've got church, so we're going to be doing church. And then we put gathering with God's people first, and then other stuff will come in later. So we went after church. Okay, I believe that. I'm convicted. I'm fully persuaded in my own mind. Amen. But some people believe, hey, no sports on Sunday. Except the problem with that is after church, we're going to have some of the men, some of the young boys and girls, they're going to be running around kicking a soccer ball. Do you see why if we try to make a day about, we got to be real, real careful. Now, we had a family come one time, and they truly believed, kids can't have fun on Sunday. It was basically the doctrine. Kids can't run and play tag or kick a ball, or they can't do that on Sunday because it's the Lord's Day. It's a holy day. Now, you know what that is? That's not somebody that's on their way to hell. That's not somebody that's an evil person. That's none of that. All of that is Romans 14, somebody that's weak in the faith. That's what that is. And so you know what my wife and I did when they came? You want to fine, we'll fellowship. If the kids can't go and play and run it, why? Because we're going to consider where they're at and say, okay, fine, we'll meet there. I don't need to let them have it on, what do you, your kids can't run and play tag? Like, what's your problem? Why would I do that? Romans 14 isn't about sin. It's about someone that's weak in the faith. Consider them. Sure, we'll talk about whatever you want to talk about. It's considering the other person and not going after somebody because they're not where you think they should be. Does it make sense? We're not going to go to a restaurant on Sunday. We don't even think people should be working on Sunday at a restaurant preparing meals for people. Yeah, but you prepared a meal. We got to be careful of those things. Would you agree? Amen and amen. So what is, look at Colossians 2. Look at Colossians 2, verse number 16 at the end. Watch what it says. Or of the Sabbath days. We'll go back to that in a minute. But it says, here's what they are. Verse 17. Which are a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ. In Genesis 2, God created on 6 days. What did He do on the seventh day? Everybody, what did He do? He rested on the seventh day. Genesis 3, it was the fall of mankind. God hasn't rested since. He ever liveth to make intercession for us. God hasn't rested since the fall. But that's what happened in Genesis chapter number 2. God did rest on the seventh day. But we don't rest in any of these things that we saw in Colossians 2, verse 16. We don't rest in meat, drink, holy days, new moons, or Sabbath days. We find no rest in those things. They all point. It's a shadow of things. It points to Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ said, I will give you rest. Jesus Christ, the person, gives you and I rest. And you know what He told us? He said, it's not time for you to rest right now. I want you to labor. I want you to serve. I want you to minister to others. I want you to give. I want you to sing. Folks, we're gathering today on a Sunday. We're not resting. We're not resting. We are. Did we all sing to the Lord? We are worshiping Him. We are serving Him. We are talking about Him. We are thinking about Him. There's going to come a day of rest for us, but now, God says, now is the time to stay in the fight, to labor, to strive, to get busy for the kingdom, right? Amen, amen. It's a big day of serving. Jamin, I'm glad I don't have to wait for one day out of the year to get excited about Jesus rising from the dead. I'm glad I don't have to wait for one day of the year. I'm glad I don't have to wait for one day of the year to get excited about the birth of Jesus Christ. We can get excited about that every day. What did I say I wanted to come back to? Look at verse number 16. What's the last two words? If you would, read this. Read the last two words with me. Sabbath days. Is it plural? It's Sabbath days. So the Seventh-day Adventist will say, see, we only worship on the Sabbath day. The problem with that is God gave a lot of Sabbath days. It wasn't just one. You had one day out of a week. Okay? And they said that was the Sabbath day. You also had one week out of a year. Are they doing that? No. We have to be careful. We beat up on the Seventh-day Adventists because they put their trust in a day. And if you don't worship on their day, they say you've taken the mark of the beast. We got to be careful that we don't have some Seventh-day Baptists. There's some Seventh-day Baptists out there that think, man, there's something special about this day. There's something special about the 25th of December. There's something special about when Jesus rose from the dead and it comes up every year a different day. What is that? That's misunderstanding that every 49 years you're going to have a Sabbath for the whole year. And the 50th year you're going to have a Jubilee, and that's going to be a Sabbath, and you're not going to work. And then you're going to work 6 years, and then you're not going to work seven. Yeah, you're going to go for a job, and you say, I'm a Christian, so I want off on Sunday, because that's the Lord's Day. So they give you off on Sunday, because you think that Sunday is the Sabbath for the Christian, right? Okay, well, if we're going to celebrate Sabbaths, you're going to have to tell your boss, look, I only work six. But that seventh year, I'm taking the whole year off, man. Why? I'm a Christian. I believe in the Sabbath. Yeah, I mean, how's that going to go? You're going to clock in. Hey, look, it's the 49th year. I'll see you in 2 years. Why? Well, we got the 49th years of Sabbath, and then I got my Jubilee. And so I love when they have these meetings. They call them Jubilees. You know what lasted a year? We got to be careful that we don't take what was for Israel and for the Old Testament and apply it to us, because if we apply one, we have to apply it all. That makes sense? So in Exodus chapter 20, Israel was brought out of the land of Egypt. Now, you and I were never brought out of the land of Egypt, were we? We never were. And then God gave the Ten Commandments. Praise the Lord. And then after the Ten Commandments were given, the people saw these miraculous signs, because they were Jews. And it was thundering, and it was lightning, and Mount Sinai was smoking, and there was a trumpet. And the nation saw these signs. And Moses told the people that God wants to put His fear before their face so that they wouldn't sin. Now, when I was growing up, I didn't go and do something because I was afraid of the fear of my father. Okay? He's a much humbler, gentle man now, at least looking back in hindsight. But God used Moses to put the fear of God in people so they wouldn't sin. Does that make sense? That's what that was about. That's what God said after He gave the Ten Commandments with those sign miracles. Kids, you young people, a lot of the reason you're obeying is because you're afraid to sin because of the consequence. Dad's coming home. That's what it was. That's what God said to Moses. Nine of those commandments are restated in the New Testament, but one isn't. Guess what one it wasn't? Guess which of the Sabbath day? So you got 10 commandments, 9 restated in the New Testament, but one wasn't restated. That one that wasn't restated was the Sabbath day. How about that? What does that mean? I don't know what that means. Let's find out. Go to the book of Ezekiel, Jeremiah, Lamentations, and then Ezekiel. Ezekiel's in the Old Testament right after Lamentations. Get the book of Ezekiel. I know we don't go here a lot, but I want to show you something in chapter 20. Ezekiel chapter number 20. Ezekiel chapter 20. I think I'm going somewhere with this. Okay. We're going to go somewhere with this. I hope it'll help us all. In Ezekiel chapter number 20, let me see. Look in the middle of verse 1. Ezekiel chapter 20. Look in the middle of verse 1. It says that certain of the elders of Israel came to inquire of the Lord. Who is this in context and in reference to? Israel. Israel. Not a New Testament Christian. Israel. Elders from Israel. Not deacons and elders from First Baptist. Okay? That's pretty clear. Look at go down to verse number 6. And it says, we'll start reading, in the day when I chose Israel, see that? And lifted up my hand unto the seed of the house of Jacob and made myself known unto them in the land of Egypt. We were never in Egypt and we were never brought out of Egypt. Look, watch what they did in verse number 7. It says, Cast ye away every man the abomination of his eyes, and defile not yourselves with the idols of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. Well, apparently, Moses putting the fear of God in them didn't keep them from sinning. Because the prophet Ezekiel is telling us that they're going after other gods. Yeah, you children of Israel that I brought out of Egypt, you're going after other gods. Look at verse number 9 at the end, in bringing them forth out of the land of Egypt. Now go on down to verse number 11, and I think we'll pick up the point here. And God says, and prophet saying under the Holy Spirit's inspiration, and I gave them my statutes and showed them my judgments, which if a man do, he shall even live in them. Moreover, also I gave them my what? Sabbaths. God gave the nation Sabbaths. Why? Here it is. To be a what? Sign. We see it right here in Ezekiel. You guys are going after other gods. I gave you my Sabbath so it would be a sign between me and the Baptist church. Does it say that? It says between me and who? Them. Who was the them? Who was it? Israel. It was between God and Israel. That was the covenant. And the Sabbaths were clearly a sign. Moreover, also I gave them my Sabbaths to be a sign between me and them, that they might know that I am the Lord that sanctify them. That's what God wanted them to do. Fear Him, not sin, and sanctify the Lord. But they didn't do that. Matter of fact, verse 13 says, what did they do? But the house of Israel rebelled against me. And watch what verse number 14 says. What happened to the Sabbaths? But I wrought for my name's sake that it should not be polluted before the heathen, in whose sight I brought them out. Look at verse 16. It says in the middle of the verse, but polluted my Sabbaths, for their heart went after other idols. All the way down to verse number 20. Watch, we see it again. God says, look, and hallow my Sabbaths, and they shall be a sign between me and you, that ye may know that I am the Lord your God. They left God. And if those Sabbaths were supposed to be a sign for God and His nation, are we the nation? What does 1 Corinthians tell us? That the Jews require what? A sign. But you aren't a Jew. I'm not a Jew. Nobody here is a Jew. And if you were a Jew, we have someone who's a descendant of Jewish. Okay? Okay, so now we know two folks. So another friend of mine, he is a flesh and blood descendant of Abraham. He has Jewish lineage. You can understand why, if a Jew gets saved, and after they get saved, they're placed into a body of Christ, why they would want to bring some of their Sabbaths into Christianity. You can understand that, right? Why? Because God gave those Jews those Sabbaths to keep. I was at a meeting one time, and they were talking about Messianic Jews. Those are Jews, I'm sure you're familiar, that are believe Christ as the Messiah, and they've trusted Christ, they're saved. They're going to heaven, they're saved. But they keep a lot of the old Jewish feast days and all of that. And then so from there, we got on this kick, because you've been here long enough, you'll know that this will come up at some point, might as well just bring it up now. But one of the preachers says to me, so Brother Jimmy, what do you think about these other holidays? What do you think about the Christmas and the... And so my response to him was, I said, well, since we were talking about the Messianic Jews, y'all can do whatever you want. But I said, at least the Messianic Jews are getting their holidays from the Bible. You want to talk about lighting a fire? It lit a fire. In a fun way, in a loving way. We have holy days. These are supposed to be, a Jew gets saved, they trust Christ, they're placed into a body, and now we're neither what? Jew nor Gentile. There is no distinction there. So the Jewish feast days, we no longer need to celebrate. They're going to come back in the millennial kingdom, but right now, they're set aside. That nation's been set aside. It's not a national thing, it's an individual thing. So we're not talking about taking pagan holidays and bringing them into the church and trying to make them a holy day, because they're not. We're talking about taking Jewish feast days and now bringing them into the church. I want us to understand why that would be a thing, why Paul would have to address these things. Okay. All right. Is everybody okay with? Okay. I told you Ezekiel was after Jeremiah and Lamentations, right? I mean, for the sake of Sunday morning, we might as well go there. Go to Jeremiah 10, and we'll see if this is a totem pole. I mean, it's August. You can do these things now. Jeremiah chapter 10. Okay, hear ye the Jeremiah chapter 10, verse number 2. Thus saith the Lord, learn not the way of the heathen. Horoscopes, Ouija boards, witchcraft, Harry Potter, yoga. They're all heathen ways. All of it's heathen. God says don't learn about them. Be not dismayed at the signs of heaven. We don't look to the stars for advice. For the heathen are dismayed at them. For the customs of the people in vain. And here is what we're supposed to believe is a totem pole. I'll read the verse and I won't preach on the verse. I'll let the verse preach to you and I'll just ask you this question. If that's not what it means, if you have to ask, well, that's not what it means, it probably is what it means. For the customs of the people are vain. For one cutteth a tree out of the forest, the work of the hands of the workman with the axe. Sounds to me a guy's going out in the forest with an axe and he's cutting down a tree. They deck it with silver and gold. They fasten it with nails and with hammers that it move not. Because you don't want it to move, because if you got $5,000 worth of gifts under the tree, you don't want the tree crushing any of them. Hey, amen. Give me a charity amen. Amen. They are upright as the palm tree, but speak not. They must needs be born, because they cannot go. Be not afraid of them, for they cannot do evil, neither also is it in them to do good. For as much as there is none like unto thee, O Lord, thou art great, and thy name is great in might. Well, this is supposed to be a day where we celebrate Jesus. So we're going to put this beautiful tree in the middle of our house, and it's going to be decked with silver and gold, and we're going to have all these gifts under it, and it's going to be about the birth of Jesus Christ. How come nobody calls me up and says, hey, Brother Jimmy, can you send me some of your sheep over? I'm going to put them in my living room. I'm going to let them pee, and I'm going to let them poop. And how come nobody calls Eric and say, hey, send over some cattle. We're going to put them in there too. And we're going to have to throw some hay down, because the urine smell is going to get so horrible that it's going to ruin your floors and smell your house up. That day was about a Savior that was born in a manger in the midst of filth. In the midst of filth. I don't need a day to remember what He did for me by being born, living a perfect sinless life, and dying on the cross. I want to celebrate that every day. All I'm saying is, look, if you are fully persuaded in your mind about a Sunday or a holiday or any day, don't do or not do it because I say so, or a convention says so, or a denomination says so. Romans 14 says, God says, you be fully persuaded in your own mind You study it out. You pray it out. You figure it. You get a conviction. You get a conviction. Here's three things we should ask ourselves before God to please Him. Two questions to please the Lord. Do you want the Lord catching you doing it? And number two, because He will see you, can you ask the Lord to bless what you're doing? That's your relationship between God. Now, our relationship with others is this. Would it cause a weak Christian to stumble? If it would, put it on a side burner, leave it alone. Because if somebody comes in on December 25th and they got the Christmas tree tie and they got the red and green suit and they got the candy cane and they got they're so excited about that day because they've set aside one day to sing happy birthday to Jesus. You know what I'm supposed to do as a stronger Christian? Leave the thing alone. Leave it alone, man. It's about considering others. I mean, it's not like the men of the church go around and going down people's chimneys to try to figure out what's going on every day in your house. We don't do it because we're Christians. We have individual liberty, right? Right. That's why God wants us to be fully persuaded. Don't ever get into something you have to do things because the preacher or... You know what that's called? A cult. It's called a cult. They take away your individual liberty and you are not allowed to fully persuade yourself in your own mind. I want you to be persuaded by the Word of God. We were at the fair and somebody had recognized me and you'll get a kick out of this. I know you will because my wife got a kick out of this. I said, So he recognized me from being out in town doing the outreaches, and he said, "Oh, hey, Reverend." And so I went back to my wife and I said, "Oh, there's some guy. He recognized me from the church and doing the outreaches." And I said, "You know, he called me Reverend." I said, "When are you going to start calling me Reverend?" Man, she laughed about as hard as she can laugh. She said, "Never." Did you correct him? No, I'm only correcting you. Look, don't follow me. Look, the Bible says Reverend is His name. That's a name reserved for God. I don't want that title. Nobody should want that title. I don't want those words and letters in front of my name. Reverend is His name. This is not about a day. It's about a Lord. It's about our Lord. Go back to Romans 14. Romans 14. Lost my spot. All right, I got it back. All right, Romans 14. We were at verse number 5. Go down to verse number 6. He that regardeth the day regardeth it unto the Lord. And he that regardeth not the day... to the Lord he doth not regard it. He that eateth, eateth to the Lord, and for he giveth God thanks, and he that eateth not to the Lord, he eateth not, and giveth thanks to God. You know what the key phrase is there? Unto the Lord, to the Lord. The question is, who are you regarding it for? We talked about how the Jews require a sign. They'd have fringes on their garments. They'd have circumcision. They would have all of these things where every day they would be reminded by a visual sign that they're God's people. And when they were reminded, every time a male would use the bathroom, he'd be reminded, "I better not sin. That sign reminds me I'm supposed to be living for God." Cutting the corners of their beards and all of that. Other nations were to see them as different. Well, Matthew, and we talked about this when we went through the 3 days and three nights thing on Christ's resurrection. We talked about Matthew 28, where it says at the, it starts off the chapter at the end of the Sabbath. And we talked about how Jesus Christ didn't rise from the dead on the first day of the week. It was the end of that day, that Sabbath day, that he conquered death. He's Lord of the Sabbath. And so now that next day, the first day of the week, now what we have is a Lord who has completely defeated death, and he's alive forevermore. But what he did was, by defeating death, he brought an end to the Sabbath. It's done. It's ended. And now we find our rest in Christ. Now those Sabbaths and all that stuff will be brought back at a later time, but we're not going to get into the eschatology of it. But just know that Christ is alive, and his resurrection marked the end of the Sabbath. So everything we do now, it's who are we doing it in regard to? Well, I'm going to eat cupcakes. Okay. Are you regarding that unto the Lord? Right? I'm going to eat veggies. Great. Are you regarding that unto the Lord? Or are you judging her because she's eating cupcakes and not veggies? I'm going to eat meat. Great. Are you regarding that unto the Lord? Or are you just eating meat in front of the brother that's eating veggies so you can show him and tell him, you're just not really right with God. See, we can eat it whatever we want. It's not doing it unto the Lord. It's doing it to show everybody that you're making fun of us, of a weaker Christian. And that's not Christian. It's not Christian. Regard it unto the Lord. Man, we're never going to get through all of this. It'll have to be a part two message. I say this. We have members here that every day they're doing something for God. Praise the Lord. That's how we should live. But it's unto the Lord. I'm not doing, we shouldn't do something to please ourselves or to prove others wrong. Because the way you worship with your family isn't going to look the exact same way someone else worships. It's the same God. It's the same doctrine. But if you have a conviction, allow other people time to be fully persuaded in their mind about their conviction. And this isn't about letting sin or immorality into a church. That's not the context of Romans 14. That's a straw man, because that's not what's being taught. It's not about what's right and what's wrong. Romans 14 is about what is right and what is right. We have to be fully persuaded. You're going to eat? Eat unto the Lord. Because eating isn't a personal, private act. Eating of itself gives us an opportunity to regard the Lord. We had to start farming at a young age. Now, my dad will tell the story different. The way I remember it is, my dad had us up at 5 in the morning. Dad always says, I never had the boys up before 6. But in my mind, it was at 5 o'clock. And we had to be up. We had to be in the truck to go to the farm. And there was no ifs, ands, or buts about it. And we did that every summer. My dad, school teacher, and then summers, the family was farmers. So we were scallion farmers. You'd be down on your knees in dirt pulling up these, you know, long onions, pull them out and help you appreciate where food came from. Really would help you appreciate where food came from. So when we can go to a restaurant or we can go down to a grocery store and get whatever we want in abundance and then just waste it and we eat it down in 20 seconds and we don't even thank God, how is that regarding what we have to the Lord? It isn't. You kids should understand that. Everything doesn't come in a can and a box from God. Regard it to the Lord. Verse 7, last verse, and then we'll finish out. Bible says, verse 7, for none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. We don't live independently regarding ourselves only. It's always having the Lord and His honor in view. How can I serve? How can I minister? How can I help? And young people, if you're living your life always trying to get something from somebody, you're living under yourself, not the Lord. All of us, myself included. If we're always takers, God says you're not regarding Him. I want to think about each one of my brothers and sisters in Christ, and I want to live my life in such a way, for none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. Because this thing isn't about an individual, himself or herself. It's about the Lord. And the reason we get mixed up in fighting about food and fighting about days is because we make it about us and our conviction as the standard. And God says, stop living to yourself. Regard me, and it'll be a lot easier.